This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, it's RÚV English Radio. I'm Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company today. I've come to Akureyri to visit the town, or indeed the city's museum, and that's where I am right now, in the heart of the museum. It feels like I'm in the heart of the city as well, and certainly at the heart of the history of this wonderful place. Haraldur Thor is my guest today. He's going to guide me around this museum, and we're also going to make future visits back here, Haraldur, to see some of the other museums, because the one we're standing in is not the only one, is it?
No. This is part of our seven museums or exhibition places. But this is the main museum.
This is the main one. Well, yeah. We plan to visit as many of those in the next couple of months as possible. But let's start here in the main museum, you might say, in Akureyri. And we're upstairs, and I see a wealth of music memorabilia.
Yes, this is our exhibition about music in Akureyri. There is a rich history of music since the town formed in the 19th century. So there is a big story to tell, and it's an ongoing story. So we have lots of things to display and tell people about.
Well, the first thing that caught my eye, and I do have an electronic drum kit, but we had to leave it back in the UK because it wasn't possible to bring it to Iceland. So I see an electronic drum kit here. I'm tempted to play. I'm not going to. There's a big bass drum and a snare drum hanging up here as well, with a guitar and a small guitar amp. And that's the introduction, really, isn't it?
Well, yeah. In a music exhibition, you want to, it's one of the things in museums which is difficult, that, normally you can't touch things. And if you have musical instruments, people really want to play. So we have this drum kit and other musical instruments, so you can actually try them out. So
you shouldn't have told me that. Well, maybe after we see some of the other exhibits as we move around, you put that idea in my head now. I'm not very good, by the way. So we've got so many different instruments here. There's a xylophone, there are old guitars. There's a miniature harp there, I think, or at least a model of a harp. Let's talk a little bit about the musical history then of Akureyri, because we know that Iceland's a very musical country. We know that in the southwest of the country, that the NATO base encouraged a kind of rock and roll scene in Keflavik and nearby areas. What was happening here?
Well, from the start, in the middle of the 19th century, they started to have a lot of choirs. And that all started with when the church in town was consecrated. Mm-hmm. The singing was so horrible that they almost stopped the process, and because they had fought hard to get the church, they thought, we can't have horrible singing. No one would turn up, so we have to do something.
It was that bad.
It was written about in the newspapers that, yes, we have a new church, but the singing was horrible. So in a way, it's the first review.
Well, everyone's a critic, aren't they?
But then they decided, let's mend things and let's rehearse. So people were, there was an advertisement in the newspaper, and half the town turned up to practice. Even though there was only about 250 people in town, almost roughly about 100 people turned out.
So they got good, or they got better.
They got really good, and this was the start of lots of choirs. This town has today probably four, five, six choirs.
And I mean, the wider sort of musical culture in the city, we've got the Hof, of course, which is the culture house in the center of the city. There is an orchestra even dedicated to the north and Akureyri as well, which for a city of 20,000 people is pretty impressive.
It is, and it's a huge leap from the first band that was formed, the brass band. They had to rehearse in a shop, so after hours, and they had to bring their own coal, so everyone could really play the instruments.
Yes.
We're taking a big step. And
as you talk, my eye is being drawn to various other items around here. There's a small transistor radio, of course, which would probably, I hope, be tuned to RÚV.
Radio Luxembourg.
Radio Luxembourg. I remember Radio Luxembourg. Yeah. Goodness, that signal did stretch quite far. There's an old turntable here. There's one that plays 78s. There's an accordion. Lots of costumes as well. Let's talk about some of the costumes. Some male costumes here from the band Gazes.
Yeah, this is a quartet. It was part of one of the choirs. Yeah, in the past, the bands that either played concerts or at the hotels, they were really conscious about looking good, having their own own costumes. You know, the Beatles, they really dressed up.
Yes.
So did the bands here. You know, so
yeah, these are very smart costumes, much smarter than I would ever wear. But there's a leather jacket here advertising Brennivine on the back, which is maybe more my style.
Yeah, this is one of the 80s band called Skriðjöklar. And they were really popular and a bit controversial as well.
Okay.
They wanted to, well, in the past on Rúv there was this top 10 list, and they got to the top, but Rúv then controversially decided that they should not be on top because they did the phone in bit a little bit too much.
Okay, well, I couldn't possibly comment on that. I am, though, looking at something that takes me back to my early days in radio, which is a reel-to-reel tape machine. Yeah. And I remember the days that I would sit in front of one of these and cut the tape up and stick it back together. And this came from?
This is actually telling the story about a record company. And there was a guy here in town who sold musical instruments, and he wanted also to sell records. But there was actually a monopoly of selling records. So the two big companies divided the market up. But he was a stubborn and persistent man. So if he couldn't sell records, he would just make them. So he made a really successful publishing company and got, you know, some of the biggest artists in Iceland to sign for him. And he made some of the legendary musical albums in Icelandic history.
There's a record sleeve here, and I've seen this in Reykjavik. It's a very distinct, I want to say, octagonal sleeve. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, that's 8 sides, isn't it?
Yeah.
A vinyl record that's been, as I say, shaped like a an octagon.
It was iconic 70s bands in Icelandic history called Trúbrot. And they made this, it's really a concept album. And this has been voted the best album in Iceland history, and
yes.
it was this guy from Akureyri that actually published it.
It's still available, as we said, across the country.
And we have a wonderful story about during the Beatle period, when the Kinks came to Iceland to perform, they got a couple of bands to warm up, the warm up acts. But these guys from Akureyri called Bravo, they were actually 12-year-olds.
Okay. The vibe of the day.
Yes.
They're a bit older than that.
It would probably be illegal to say.
Yeah.
But they got to warm up for, you know, the Kinks of the day were probably one of, you know, just as big as the Beatles and
for sure.
Stones.
Yeah.
So they played a lot of concerts in Reykjavik.
This was 1965 the Kinks came here.
Yeah, goodness. Yeah. And they actually, I think it was Ray Davies who asked one of the guys from the band, you know, we're going to the States, perhaps you'll join us there. And the guy thought, well, it's a good idea, but I'm going to school in the fall.
There's also an 8-track cassette here as well, which gives you a sense of the history, just how far back we are going when it comes to rock and pop, I guess, in this part of the country. Into the other side, I just quickly want to look at what's happening up at the other end of this room. There is a real drum kit, which we're definitely not allowed to play, I guess.
No, sorry.
as well as more costumes. Again, very formal, very crisp. Who would have worn these jackets and this dress and these trousers?
Well, the main dress, well, we have two suits and a dress.
And a green dress in the middle, yes.
Yeah, this is one of Icelandic's best-known singer called Helena.
Mm.
And she wore this dress to some of her concerts. I think she wore this when Rúv was actually making the first movie or first program that they recorded in Akureyri and played on TV when TV finally came to the north part of Iceland in 1968.
No television reception before then?
No.
Okay.
Just radio.
Just radio. Radio Luxembourg.
Yes. Actually, the bands played the hotels every night. And they would actually listen to Radio Luxembourg to pick up the recent songs. Mm, mm. So, for instance, for Eurovision, when Eurovision was on, the band would listen to what the song that won, mm-hmm. learn it, and play it the same night.
Okay, goodness. So there was an instant performance of it.
Yeah.
And not too far from us on the north coast, of course, in Húsavík is the Eurovision Museum. We've been there. There's a lot of love for Eurovision in Iceland, I guess, here in Akureyri. A lot of attention on Söngvakeppnin, and fingers crossed, Vibe make it through to the final. It's going to be watched here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, let's move round, and I think we're going to head downstairs now and see the other part of the main museum here in town. This is a temporary exhibition that we've just been talking about.
Yeah. This will run... Well, the end date is in December this year.
Okay. But downstairs we find a permanent exhibition.
Yes, that's where we tell the story of this little town and how it has evolved through the ages.
How long has the museum been here?
Since 1962, actually.
Okay, so that's when you started telling the story, but of course it goes back much further than that. And we walk into a shop, as it might have been.
Yeah, Akureyri really formed around the local store when they finally allowed people to move to the sea. Mm. So the store was the main thing in Akureyri for the first decades.
So what would have been on sale? Let's have a look at some of these items that you might have been able to buy. This looks a bit more like being in somewhere like Kolaportith in Reykjavik.
Yeah, this is a more recent thing. These things are from the industrial age, really, of Akureyri, the 60s and the 70s. So there was actually two like main big stores, like department stores.
Yes.
So this has always been a place of commerce and of theatre and
Yes, there are cosmetics, there are items to deal with people's nails, there is soap and there is aftershave and spectacles and matches and candles. And this does feel like more like a department store from the 60s.
Yeah,
50s or 60s.
But before that, you can almost like imagine a store in the frontier of the US, with all the main things you would need, like flour and sugar and, tobacco. Yes. Coffee and stuff. So you would come in and trade, because this was all barter in the early 19th century. Mm. So you would bring your own, knitted things or dried fish or butter or stuff you could sell to the...
And Akureyri is still the biggest place in either direction for a fairly significant distance. But did it feel even more like a sort of frontier town in the past, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. There were hardly any towns in Iceland, and for a long period, Akureyri was the second largest city in Iceland.
And still is, if we don't count. I mean, I live in Kópavogur, which I think is technically the second biggest. But if we don't count the towns of the capital area, then Akureyri very much is the second city, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Some photos here that show the development of the town. How far back can we go to see either a painting or an image of the town?
So this is a painting of the first houses in Akureyri.
And there's the Danish flag there.
Yes.
How long ago are we talking here? 1855, I think, is when this was painted.
Yeah.
And these are just four wooden houses. Well, there's one main wooden house and three other buildings, as I say, the Danish flag as well. This was when Akureyri began?
Yeah, it was the period when people started to move here and build residential houses. The first store was in 1777 or 6. Mm-hmm. But really in the middle of the 19th century, that's when things started to, the town started to grow.
And why here? Why not in a different location on the north coast? Is it to do with the inlet, the fjord here, the water?
Yeah, it's a good place to lay your anchors if you come on a sailing ship, so it's convenient, even though it's in the bottom of the fjord, and probably the layout of the land helped.
And trade here was under the control largely of Danish merchants for a long time, evident there in the Danish flag that we see in that painting. How important was that influence?
Oh, the Danish influence is really big, especially, you know, up until the, probably up until the 1960s, really. And so a lot of you know, like Ash Wednesday has been really big here, and, you know, some of the...
Which was yesterday as we're having our conversation. Yes. Did you dress up?
No, unfortunately. My kids have grown up.
And, okay. You know,
and I really miss it.
You know? Yeah. Well, there's also, I love these old photographs that we see of parts of Iceland. Here is the... Here's Hafnarstræti, one of the main streets, Harbour Street, in 1960. And it's bustling. Cars, people moving around, shops all open, all busy. Still looks very different to what we see today.
Yeah, but it's still a vibrant town,
yes,
like it was.
I think it's more vibrant now, but it's interesting to see how much activity there is going on here. And a photo here of Glerutorg, Glerugatu, from 1958 onwards. And again, you can see these very modern buildings are starting to appear even here in Akureyri, these modernist, brutalist blocks almost.
Yeah, yeah. The city, as we call it now, has grown quite much in recent years. Mm. And, you know, there's a lot of really interesting architecture, you know.
Yes.
And fortunately, the old part of town was, you know, saved by the progress of the town, really moved to the north where there was ample land, so we didn't need to tear down the old houses. And that really makes up the spirit of the town is really connected to that.
Is there still space then for the town to develop to the south and the east and the west? Because it feels like this is a growing city, but it feels like it's going to grow particularly quickly.
I think the land that Akureyri owns is really scarce now, but the other municipalities now they're growing as well, so this eventually we'll grow probably link up.
Yes, and there's a big conversation in Iceland, of course, about municipalities merging, but you can imagine if other towns just outside the city borders grow, then they might become commuter towns for Akureyri.
Yeah, a lot of people that live outside Akureyri work here.
Yes, so, yes. Yeah. Well, here we are in a reproduction of a sitting room, I guess. What are we looking at here?
So we're trying to explain the contrast within the town in the beginning of the 20th century, you know, with the people that, you know, the bourgeoisie compared to the workers' place. Mm-hmm. So these are... people with, you know, that are affluent and, you know, have really nice housing.
Mm. And I mentioned 1907 then, because that was when the visit took place of King Frederick the VIII of Denmark to Iceland. Of course, he was the King of Iceland as well at the time. And there's a glass here that commemorates that visit.
Yeah, that's it was a big thing to get the king to visit, you know. The whole town turned up and, you know, everything was... Well, all the finer things were brought for the king, and for instance, the sofa on display, the local printer had just moved from Denmark.
Okay.
And he brought really nice Danish furniture with him, and this was brought to the house that the king and queen would stay at.
Very fancy, isn't it? Got a lace covering on the back there, and it's very frilly.
Fit for a king and queen.
Fit for a king and queen, literally. We see some toys here that children would have played with. There's a wooden rocking horse. There's a toy lorry here as well. I mean, you'd have found a lot of these, I guess, in children's bedrooms across the world, I suppose.
Yeah. Most of the toys are, you know, like manufactured in big industrial companies in the world. But we also have, like, the toys that people would make for their, you know, for themselves, like from bones and stuff like that people were used to use.
The first school here, first primary school, established in 1871. Now, of course, there are nurseries, there's university, there are schools as well. How important is the university in Akureyri?
Oh, it made a real difference when the university started here. And it actually started at the perfect time, because in the early 1990s, the economy of the town were, you know, took a dive because all the industrial companies, you know, were in hardship. Mm-hmm. So this was an alternative. So you know, it helped bring people to the town, and you know, it grew bigger inside our heads as well, I think.
Yes. Well, if you come to this museum, as I say, we're downstairs in the main museum. This is the permanent exhibition that details the growth of the town. Upstairs, where we've just been, you can learn about the musical history of Akureyri. And this museum is open all year round, isn't it?
Yes. Every day.
Every single day.
Yes.
And as more tourists visit the north, as those flight connections grow with other countries, are you finding more people are stopping here to learn about where they are?
Yes, absolutely. You know, we get more tourists both from the ships and from the planes, because you know, I'm a tourist myself. So when I go abroad, I want to know about the people I'm visiting.
Well, we're going to be returning here to Akureyri many times over the next few weeks and months to learn about the other museums in the town. Let's just give me a sneak preview of where we're going to be.
We're going to visit one of Akureyri's oldest houses, Nonni's house, which has a rich history of the man who lived there as a boy. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to the toy museum and the industrial museum, I think we are going to as well, and the sundry collection.
Which is the Museum of Small Things.
Yes.
I have not coincidentally brought us back to the drum kit upstairs. Could I have a quick go at this?
Absolutely, that's why it's there.
Okay, so this is connected with headphones. You're not going to hear me drum.
No.
Unless you hold the microphone up to the up to the ear pads.
Do you want people to hear you?
I think we'll give it a go. Yes, let's try it.
I hope this works.
I did try this once at the Rock and Roll Museum in Keflavik. Let's see if I've improved. Okay, so what I'm going to do is get you to hold the microphone between the earpieces. And I'm just going to have a very quick go. This is hard, I can't hear myself. I think the less said about that, the better. Do people enjoy having a go at this?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And the guitar as well. You know.
There is a guitar here as well with an amp if you want to have a shot, and you can form your own two-piece band here at the museum. Thank you very much. We'll talk again very soon.
Yep. Thank you for visiting.
It's RUV English Radio. I'm Darren Adam. Get in touch anytime. We're english@ruv.is.
There is more from RUV English, with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. RUV English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RUV.